Big Red Revival.
Nebraska gets its first win of the Matt Rhule era with a 35-11 victory over the Northern Illinois and what could be described no less than an electric atmosphere on last Saturday night. Zach, how you doing? Week goes by a little quicker. Days seem a little bit better after a victory, right?
They do. They do. I mean, it was nice to see. I think we were both in attendance at the game, and it felt good to be in the stadium and actually see a pretty dominant performance. So it definitely feels good to get that first one under our belt and in a pretty, you know, pretty good fashion. You know, we came out, we kind of dominated. We let them hang around a little bit longer than we wanted to, but yeah. Ultimately we were the better team on the field and it showed at the end of the night. But it feels good. 1-0 in the last 1 week. We're looking to do the same this week and feel pretty good about our chances. So
absolutely. Well, you know, as you said, we both went to the game Saturday on great Saturday night. Weather wise worked out great, man. Just a real electric atmosphere. You know, I knew it was, people were ready for it just by the amount of traffic, you know, coming down there from Omaha. I think I left at 2:00 and that right there by the outlet malls is just backed up for miles on miles. And so I don't know about that, but it's usually a good indicator of how many people are going to the game, you know, or going down the tailgate. So got down there, did a little tailgating, went into the game, took my 4-year-old daughter and, you know, it was great. I mean, I didn't catch the theatrics between the third and fourth quarter. What was that like in the stadium? I saw it out while I was tailgating, but what was it like inside the stadium?
It was awesome as always. I mean, they have that new like element of it with the drones that they did with the volleyball match.
Are they actually little drones?
I think the Nebraska State Patrol puts out videos on Twitter and it shows them like going through it, like from even like a higher up, elevation. And then it shows them flying away and I didn't believe it at first either. And then once I saw that,
kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're flying away now. Okay. So that Nebraska end that we just saw, it's just flying away, but it was awesome. And I will say, I know that you won't probably say the same thing, but outside of the seats that you and I sat in with, against Northwestern and Michigan, those real low level ones, the seats I had on Saturday were probably the best seats I've ever had at a Nebraska football game. We were club level, 50-yard line, first row. I mean, it was just perfect. You know? It was perfect weather, it was just a good experience from beginning to end.
Yeah. Yep. So no, it was great night. You know, I guess the game kind of started when with the introductions to the starting lineup, and everybody was kind of anxious to see if Jeff Sims was going to be starting, or, you know, it could have been Purdy or Heinrich Harburg. And, you know, they're going through the starting lineup kind of with teams not even out on the field at the moment, and they're showing the lineup, and then they, you know, they put up Heinrich Harburger starting. I haven't heard a roar out of the crowd like that in quite some time. Would you think of that? Would you think of Harburg's performance in general?
Yeah, I wasn't in there early enough to hear that.
That was the best part of the game. Well, not the best, but it was just like it was a roar that I guess you'd have to be there to describe it, but it was like just – I don't know. I guess Heinrich Harburger is the first Nebraska quarterback, you know, scholarship quarterback to start for Nebraska.
Since Crouch, probably?
No, there's been a couple.
Riker.
So he's the fourth one. So Riker, yeah. Ron Kellogg.
Oh yeah,
and Noah Vedral.
Yeah,
so
that's
Yep. So I don't know if it was just a little bit of wanting to see a change after Jeff Sims' performances the first two games, or just hey, we're getting to see a Nebraska boy start at quarterback. So
yeah,
it was a very, very boisterous reaction from the crowd, and you know, he came out there and kind of looked, you know, I mean, I hate to bring this guy up a little bit, but he kind of looked like Scott Frost. The way he played, you know, Scott Frost wasn't ducking no contact as a quarterback, total dog shit head coach. But as a quarterback, you know, Scott Frost probably my favorite Nebraska quarterback of all time, just from the way he played. Yeah. What do you think of his performance? I mean, the first drive, he got out there and couldn't draw it up much better. You know, dink, 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 long pass, boom, touchdown, 7-0 to open the game. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he looked really sharp overall. He came out, he didn't look like it was his first start playing college football. I thought, you know, he was very poised. He was very confident out there. I mean, you saw a video leading to where the positional players ran out on the field, and he looked back at the group and said, "Hey, let's not effing turn this ball over." And so I think it's really important for him to like have that top of mind to, you know, he did turn it over once. We'll get to that, I'm sure, later on. But I will say, just, you know, just having that like sense of awareness to call something like that out and get it out to the group and just keep it like, you know, hey, we can't beat ourselves anymore. That those days are over. And so outside of that, though, you know, I don't have anything negative really to say. I will say one thing that I'll be a little skeptical on is some of the times where he had those stupid sidearm throws that we saw at 2 a.m. I don't like those. That right. Takes
you
away
ain't Pat
from
accuracy.
Yeah, it takes away from accuracy. It takes away from, you know, the force in which you're willing to throw the ball or able to throw the ball. But one of them did result in a touchdown. So, you know, I can't say too much, but I hope that that's not going to be something we see a lot. Right. However, you know, after he did have that fumble again, which I don't think it was his fault, you saw him holding that ball high and tight. You know, he clearly, you know, he clearly
got the memo of what the problem was with the first guy.
Yes. And that and, you know, he learned from a mistake. I mean, when you can learn from a mistake like on the go in a game atmosphere, I think that that's a very telling of your character and your willingness and ableness to really to adapt to the game time type of situation. So, I think, you know, there were a couple of throws where there were big time throws when he gets his feet set and throws it, you know, the first one over the middle to Marcus Washington. Very impressive. Yep. And just the way that he just managed the game overall, I thought it was good. Not willing to, you know, give him a Heisman trophy yet, but I think it was definitely, you know, a small step in the right direction for where we want to see our quarterback play going forward.
Yeah. Now, I guess, you know, the big question, you know, there's a couple of big questions, but, you know, we saw him carry the ball 19 times, most of them scripted, probably 15 of them were scripted carries. A couple were play breaks down and he scrambled. You know, we kind of talked about him not ducking any contact. I mean, the brother is big. I mean, he's 6'5", 230 pounds. I mean, the guy, you know, those cornerbacks didn't love seeing that big motherfucker come running at him. You know, I guess running that many times and not avoiding contact, is that sustainable for a quarterback, one, to stay healthy, two, to win football games that way? What are your thoughts on that being the offense and the style of play he's currently playing?
Yeah, for him, he's got to be thinking on the move because, you know, he is a big body and it depends on who you want to take on contact against. You know, you don't want to do that against a D lineman or a bigger middle side size linebacker. You want to do that against those DBs that are, you know, 6 foot, you know, 175 and you can kind of, you know, put your, you know, power towards them and right, as opposed to, you know, taking a big shot against a bigger guy. So I think he's got to be smart about that. But at the same time, going forward, you know, with, again, what we'll probably get into later is with our lack of now all of a sudden depth at running back, you know, we might have to run him and Sims from the quarterback spot and, you know, put a lot of weight on their shoulders in the run game. And so, you know, that's got to be something that he's going to have to get used to. And based on, you know, his press conference and what he said to the media after the game, it sounds like that's kind of his forte, his type of play style. And so
it's like, well, brother, you're not in C2 anymore. You're not at Catholic. All right. This is the fucking Big Ten.
So, but as a quarterback myself,
all those guys out there tilling up the land right now, you used to play against, you know,
I was never a slide guy.
About a 4th of July type guys.
Yep. I was never a slide guy. I can't count one time where I actually was running the ball and slid. I was either probably diving near the sideline to get an extra yard or, you know, going out of bounds or just taking somebody on like he did all day Saturday. So I can appreciate that. But I don't know. In D1, it's not necessarily sustainable. You just have to be really smart about who you're kind of lowering your shoulder against and who you want to just kind of like take that time off.
Yeah, no, it's not sustainable to be, you know, trying looking for contact, you know, out of your quarterback. You know, it'll work against Northern Illinois and your first game in, and I'm sure you're full of, you know, piss and vinegar, ready to, you know, show what you can do. I thought he played a great game. I mean, he went out there, did what needed to be done. It wasn't nothing exciting. It wasn't anything spectacular. It wasn't like, oh, hey, we might have a, you know, this is our future quarterback here. I would contend that the 2025 season quarterback is not on this roster. He's playing somewhere else currently. I mean, I don't know who that guy is, but I don't think Sims or Harburg are, you know, long-term guys. But he came out, didn't make mistakes. You know, there was the fumbled snap where they fumbled at the mesh point. And then he had the one interception that should have been interception. But besides that, he played the game that needed to be played, you know, basically a pretty mistake free game. You know, got what he could get, you know, through, you know, hit the open guys and, you know, didn't try to do too much. You know, I mean, against a lesser opponent, you don't want to go out there and try to do too much and show you got an arm and this, that, and the third. I think he came out there and, you know, did a good job and he looked good. You know, I mean, like I said, he's the first scholarship quarterback from high school from the state of Nebraska since 01, since Mike McLaughlin. Remember that guy, Miller North? That guy could play. That guy could go.
That's a throwback right there.
Hey, that's back in our day, right? Yeah. Mike McLaughlin, I think he was, what, a year or two older than us?
Yeah.
So good old Mike McLaughlin. He was the last in-state scholarship quarterback straight out of high school. Obviously,
yeah, I think this is just like the perfect like scenario for him to come in and gain some confidence.
Right.
You know, there was no other choice really. You know, it sounds like, you know, he was just the done deal. He was the guy without Sims. And I think they lightened the load a lot on him, but he still had more, passing yards than Sims did in either of the first two games. And so,
yeah.
I get that it's a lesser opponent. I mean, their offense was awful. And so we were on the field a lot more than, you know, we would be against any other
team. Offense was fucking terrible.
Rocky Lombardi stinks. But
I believe they had 7 rushing yards going into the fourth quarter, finished with 26.
They should have never even had over 100 total yards.
Rocky Lombardi looked terrible. And the red receivers, when he finally did make a halfway decent pass, dropped the ball. Yeah. So just a really bad team. You know, it kind of wish Nebraska would have maybe jumped out on them a little bit earlier. But final score looks good. You know, you
had to work out the kinks.
Yeah, just worked out the kinks.
Yep.
So I guess, you know, that leads us to, you know, every struggling team's, you know, favorite conversation. Do we have a QB controversy here? It sounds like Jeff Sims is good enough to go. Obviously, people are, you know, going to point to, obviously, Jeff Sims' turnovers, which obviously is a pretty big deal. What do you think about, you know, the quarterback controversy or quarterback competition currently?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's very complicated because, like, you have to make your decision this week. You can't just run out Harburg if Sims is healthy. And then if things don't go right, expect something different in Michigan. You know, you have to kind of make your – I think what's going to happen, just based on what I've heard, is – it sounds like basically from what Rule has said that Sims isn't 100% healthy yet. And so he's going to just kind of ride that. And you don't go away from a quarterback that just won your first game of the year. But either way, like if you were to start Harburg and then it's not working out, you go away from him. Sims' confidence is already effed up because you didn't start him. But if you don't go to Harburg and you go to Sims and you bring in Harburg, Harburg's confidence is messed up. So there's not really a good decision here. I mean, unless Sims really, really isn't 100% healthy, then I feel like you have a good leg to stand on, no pun intended. But
ouch.
But then, I mean, then you could go that route. But it's just it's such a delicate like situation that is detrimental to the team if it's handled the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, we saw you in college, you know, come in for a guy that got injured, and then you know, he came back. And how did he handle that?
He wasn't injured; he just couldn't throw the football.
Oh, that he hit the portal.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
He hit the ground every time he threw it.
I thought he came back and then he fucking peaced out and said, that's it.
No, he was in college? No.
Yeah.
He was a senior captain and completed three passes through three quarters and we were losing.
Hurt. And no, then he just never got his job back and peaced out.
No, we were losing and going into the third quarter, he had three completions and I got brought in through three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and we won.
Oh, okay.
And then,
all right, well,
and then there was a dust trail left behind me as he watched.
Yep.
Hopefully he's not a listener to this because he will not be listening.
Yeah, he fucking unsubscribe immediately.
We lost
both you guys. So I guess, you know, comparing the two quarterbacks, you're not really comparing apples to oranges. I mean, your first game is on the road against Minnesota. That's a team we haven't beaten 5 years. It's a Big Ten quality team. Your next start is on the road at the most ruckus environment that you could get, Deion's homecoming game. I mean, you got Lil Wayne coming out. I mean, you got Black Hollywood there on the sidelines. I mean, the whole world is rooting against you, basically. Everybody's rooting for Deion. And then compared to Heinrich Harburg, you come home, you're playing Northern Illinois. No one was really – this isn't on anybody's radar. So clearly a lesser opponent. So it's hard to compare apples to apples. But, you know, I think it'd be easier to start Jeff Sims and put him on the short leash and give him the hook, you know, if these turnovers persist, because honestly, I didn't see anything too special out of Harburg besides, you know, I mean, he liked how he finished the runs and whatnot. I mean, he threw one ball that clearly should have been picked off. I mean, he threw it directly to the middle linebacker. Just like the Northern Illinois wide receivers dropped it. You know, I'd like to see Jeff Sims go against Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech is about the same level as Northern Illinois, and go out there in a home environment where everybody's going to be, you know, you're going to have the home side on your crowd. You're not going to be having to deal with, you know, those Minnesota environment or the Colorado place. So I think, you know, you go with Jeff Sims, and I think we see both of them regardless of whether Sims starts and, you know, turns the ball over or isn't performing. I think we see both of them. And, you know, I kind of sent you that text yesterday or today about, you know, maybe Harburg is that Taysom Hill that we thought we had in Luke McCaffrey a couple of years ago. You know, we've already seen him. I mean, I think he caught the first pass of the season, right? I think that was the first pass of the season was caught by Heinrich Harburg. No.
Oh,
remember he caught that little
I thought you were talking about Lil Lukey. He caught a touchdown pass week one.
Yeah. But Harburg, did he catch the first pass of the season?
Yeah, he came across in motion.
Came in motion, yep.
Yep.
So you know, I think you want to, you know, maybe use him as a dual threat. So I think we see both of them Saturday, and, you know, you go from there. And then obviously there's a, you know, an 800-pound gorilla waiting next week and called Michigan. Down the road or next week waiting on you. So,
yeah.
You know, back to the Saturday game, you know, the defense is top five in the nation in most statistical categories. They're number two in rushing, tied for number one in sacks. And, you know, the thing about the defense, a couple years ago when we thought we had a decent defense, it was like, oh, this team's really good at stopping the run. You know, they can do this well. This team has played basically three different types of offenses and has shut loosely, held up very, very well against all three of them. I mean, it's, you want to say, oh, they gave up 38 to Colorado.
The second half
time.
Of Colorado.
Those are garbage time points.
Yeah, those
were garbage time points. Yeah. I mean, they sacked them eight times. You know, look at that first half. Until your offense finally puts you in enough bad situations, you're going to give up points. And, you know, if you fumble on the 20, your own 20, I mean, it happens. So I think they played very well against Colorado, obviously dominated against Minnesota, and then dominated, you know, Northern Illinois. So three completely different types of offenses. So it's like, man, this defense, man, I can't say enough about him. I mean, Nash combined a couple things there. Number zero there at the nose tackle. That guy's been playing, you know, just crazy good football, man. I mean, he's looks just as big as a goddamn house, but he's moving around so well. You know, he was a national championship undefeated heavyweight wrestler in high school. And, you know, that's so good for getting, you know, using your hands and being able to move big man around. And, you know, we've been kind of basically waiting for it to click with him. And it's clicked this year. He's played tremendous. And then you've got some freshmen stepping up there and a couple guys that came out of nowhere. I mean, Obviously, Linhart has played excellent. You know, he was preseason All-American, freshman All-American, and you're kind of like, you know, who is this guy? Kid out of IMG, Florida, and he's out of advertised. He got a little banged up last week, but he's been playing really well. And then this Gaber. I had no idea who this guy was, number 42. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the things you could say about this staff is he got his time on the field from what he was doing on special teams that first week in Minnesota. You know, he made like three tackles on kickoffs or on kickoff and punt. And they said, hey, this guy's, you know, this guy's out here balling right now. Let's give him a shot on defense. And now this guy seems unblockable on the edge. So what are your thoughts on the defense and what we've seen out of these guys and just, you know, how we're always seeing it's never one. They're not missing any tackles. And two, if they did miss a tackle, there's three to four other guys there every single time to make the play behind him if someone should ever miss a tackle. What's your thoughts on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, I just love it. You know, I'll double down with you on Nash Hutmacher, too. I had five names written down just based on what I saw on Saturday, and he was one of them. I've already said Marcus Washington just because of that sweet catch, and I think he can be a really elite receiver. But Polar Bear... it just seems like he's always so disruptive. Like he's, you know, like we talked about last week against Colorado, you know, he was slower than everybody that Colorado had on the field, but he was still just going after everybody and just, you know, just in pursuit at all times. And he's doing more from a three-man front than a lot of people could do. And so I think that's huge. I mean, Tony White said that he feels like Nash Hutmacher is one of the best D tackles in the country.
He's playing like it.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely. I mean, you hear Urban Meyer talking about you know, Tony White in the defense.
Yeah, and then not to mention, you know, I text you this maybe yesterday or the day before, but Quentin Newsom is about to work himself into a mid-round draft pick because that guy, I rewatched the game from Saturday. I know it's Rocky Lombardi at quarterback for Northern Illinois, but that guy, you just don't ever hear his name. And you know why? Because they don't throw at him.
Yeah. They don't throw at him.
Yeah. Yep. And it's, I mean, he is like, I don't think he's as flashy and as like electric as like Cam Taylor Britt, but that guy came up under Cam Taylor Britt and like that's what he learned from. So you're gonna see, you know, little pieces of him in Quentin Newsom's performance. And then, you know, you look at other guys like Luke Reimer. I mean, he's just a baller. You know, we've seen him make plays. Deshaun Singleton is the biggest surprise on this defense, I feel like.
Yeah.
That guy is just all over the fucking field. He's just making plays. And
you just wonder where were these guys last year? I mean, these, you know, Singleton and Omar Brown were on the field last year, and you're just like,
yeah,
these guys couldn't get on the field last year. Yeah,
and then you saw a little bit of what's his name, who's been around for 8 years. He had a sack. Trying to scroll, Jamari Butler.
Oh yes, yep.
You know he's had two sacks this year, so it's like, what's exciting about this defense is we have like 20 to 22 guys that play every
week. That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah, every week. So it's like we're so deep and we just like run guys out, run guys in, and we stay fresh. And that's why we're seeing success is because we are so much more energized and so much more like, you know, aware of what's going on in the field because we're not like sucking air.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the amount of people that are getting rotated in. I mean, you're getting seeing the guys, the freshmen on the defensive line, Von Poppel. We saw Roquan Buckley in there at the end of the game Saturday. You just see it. Like I said, there's during actual, you know, not garbage time, you're seeing 20 plus dudes rotating in on there on defense. And so, and everybody know, you know, the old saying, you know, the standard is the standard. And, you know, it's more usually just said than actually lived up to. But with this defense, it's actually is what it is. I mean, when the new guys come in and the defensive level doesn't fall off whatsoever. So you just got to love how the defense is playing, man. I mean, it doesn't make for the prettiest football, you know, high scoring games, but you know, like it's the Big Ten. This is how things are done. You know, a good defense, a strong run game and, you know, eking out some 17 games, some 23 games. So, you know, kind of the Iowa recipe, which, you know, say what you will about the guys, you know, They win a lot of fucking games. I mean, yeah. Not a lot of big games. They win a lot of games, though. Not a lot of important games or, you know. They've got a big one coming up this weekend. They travel to Penn State for the whiteout. So what a slate of games coming up this weekend, man. The Nebraska game, it's looking like it could have a little rain Saturday. So it's like, I might just be plastered to my couch watching football all day Saturday. You've got Florida State, Clemson, 11 a.m. I think the producer's saying in my headphones that must mention Colorado and Dion. The Dion game against Oregon at 2:30. Ohio State, Notre Dame, the big game, 6:30. So, yes, Saturday is just chock full of good games. So I think I'll be skipping out on the tailgating and stuff this weekend and sitting and embrace it all from the couch. So
real quick, so as you know, Taylor, I work in like healthcare, and one of my accounts is
you're a male nurse, right?
No, I'm not. I am very much not. But one of my accounts is Penn State Health, and I had a call with them earlier this week, and I had to tell them. I was like, I told them about, my Husker fandom and everything, and I was like, well, I also pay attention to other Big Ten schools, and I understand that you're playing Iowa this week, so I'm with you as a Nittany Lion for this weekend only.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Run it up on those bums. Yep. So, we talked about, the style of Big Ten play and how games need to be won. Unfortunately, Saturday, Nebraska was bitten by the injury bug. And, a lot of people after the game, the Matt Rhule press conference, I'm driving home, listening to the Big Red Overreaction. Great, great show. They're on 1620 right after games. And they're just kind of talking about, his body language seems a little down, it's like, is the job already getting to him? He already stressed out, he can't even enjoy the win right now. Well, we found out Monday that, it was because Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson both suffered season-ending injuries. So that's your two of your three basically starting running backs going down the same game. Ramir with a shoulder injury and Gabe Irvin with a dislocated hip. So obviously the running back room takes a big hit. Luckily, Anthony Grant is still there, just right out of the doghouse into the bed, So he's going to get his chance to shine. But, the one thing I took from it, it sounds like Rhule and Ramir Johnson really have a close relationship. Mm-hmm. Ramir is a guy that could have left plenty of times. And I think, they finally had him in the right offense and we're going to get him, a lot of touches. I mean, he started the game Saturday. And, to see him go down the third game of the season, first home game, just tough scene. So I think that kind of explains away Rhule's, a little downness in the press conference. But what are your thoughts on the injury bug? Oh, and also the freshman quarterback Boodle also season ending injury, which, it seems to be we opened up the last episode with, football can be a cruel, cruel sport, highs and lows. And, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing last week or the first week of the NFL season, your Cowboys were just bitten by the injury bug. As soon as your Cowboys start looking like the best team in the league, Trayvon Diggs, all pro quarterback, goes down with a torn ACL in practice. So what's your thoughts on Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson go down and, talk about a little bit about your Cowboys there?
Yeah, I mean the football gods are cruel. They show no sympathy. I mean, egotistic take here. My last game of my senior year, I went out with a separated shoulder, so I didn't even get to finish my career in college. So it sucks. But this sucks more for those guys because they had a whole season ahead of them. Right. And, they were both like 1 and 2 basically on the depth chart coming out of camp. Ramir, I don't want to like put one person in front of the other, but Ramir, man, he's been so loyal to the program and I feel for him more than anybody. And I think Rhule said it too today when he addressed the media. He was like, I don't know that I've ever really gotten emotional like that when, talking about an injury until I went to Ramir, because I know I've done all my research, I've got to know him well enough that he's been through a lot here, and for this to happen really just sucks. And then, Gabe, he came out, he won the spot at a fall camp, and you know, now he's out too. And it's just like, man, it's like, can we catch a break? And this is one of those things where, you know, there's like we were talking about before we even started the podcast, like, what do you blame it on? And a lot of people always want to blame it on something. And a lot of people blame it on turf. And you know what Matt Rhule
did? That's the hot button issue, man.
Matt Rhule came in and installed a grass field to eliminate these types of things. And unfortunately, it happened on our own turf field. So it's like, that sucks, but you know, that's part of football too. You know, that's injuries are part of football. You know, you have to deal with it. And I wish those guys the best.
Somebody needs to turn the injury button off.
Yeah, you know? Seriously. Somebody hack into the settings and just slide that slider over from yes to no on injuries. And Boodle, you know, I mean, he was just breaking into like playing time and breaking into the service of, you know, like meaningful minutes in games. But again, it's part of football. You know, we got to get by it. Cowboys, you know, it's too soon of a wound for me to talk about right now.
They might have overtaken my 49ers in the power rankings.
Yeah, well, you called me and told me we did. And now
they look so good. I mean, Micah Parsons is playing at
at least we still got
fucking
him,
breakneck speed. I mean, it looks like Lawrence Taylor out there. I mean, just flying around. I mean, hopefully he ain't on the LT, you know, on that.
As far as the running back situation goes, you know, I mean, Anthony Grant damn near hit 1,000 yards last year. So let's look at this with like a glass half full mentality here. I mean, we have him. He showed really, really bright spots.
70% of the carries last season. 70% of the carries last season.
And
Anthony Grant.
And Emmett Johnson, you know, they were speaking highly of him, you know, as the return man coming into this year and like, you know, kind of a emergency guy. But, you know, you got to grow up fast in this league. And so he's going to have to do that. I don't know that we need to really touch much on the Ivies guy who's from New Jersey, but
Quentin Ivies.
Yeah, but I here's what I think we need to do, and I told you this when we first talked, Taylor. It's you got to just establish Anthony Grant as your bell cow guy. You know, just every three series he's in, and then you take him off the shift, put in Emmett Johnson for a series or like situational type of like third down situations. But you got to just run with your guy Anthony Grant and just let him work.
Yeah, no, Anthony Grant was technically the third running back, but I would always contend that Anthony Grant was our best running back.
Yes,
you know he was in the doghouse for fumbling the ball against Minnesota, and he had some fumbling issues in camp. But you know we saw what this guy could do last year. You know, especially early on in the season, the guy looked you know as advertised. You know, he came out of JUCO as the number one junior college running back, original Florida State commit out of high school. So I mean, the pedigree is there. So you would hope the production doesn't fall off and maybe, you know, for the first time in a while, Nebraska actually, you know, will utilize a bell cow running back. And then, you know, for the backups, the Emmett Johnson, the Quentin Ivies, it's like in football, if it's running back's one of the easier positions for a young guy to come in and fucking get loose on, you know, it's not, you know, you're not asking a freshman quarterback or freshman off at left tackle or something. It's like running back. This is, you know, see the hole, hit the hole, you know?
Hold on real quick. And that when he's in there, the quarterback can always just turn around and tell him, hey, here's where you got to go.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. When what they were doing with Marquise Washington, or what was his fucking name?
Washington. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey Maurice, brother, I'm handing you the Maurice Washington.
His name escaped us, like he escaped the authorities that one time.
Yeah. So you know, hopefully, you know, we see a lot of Anthony Grant coming up here, and you know, hopefully the other guys can come in and give him a breather. But you know, I think that's probably why we end up seeing the two quarterback system. You know, the old adage: if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And it's like, yep. Yep. Correct. We don't have one.
we are going to go ahead and embrace this.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Nope. We do not have one. So
the first step is admitting that you have a problem.
Absolutely. So Nebraska has got a game coming up this weekend against Louisiana Tech. We got a little little get back on this game. You know who their head coach is?
Sonny Cumbie.
Sonny Cumbie. You remember anything about Sonny Cumbie and
the Huskers? I remember him. No, I think that he was a part of the 77-point.
Yeah, he was the part down of 500 yards and six touchdowns.
Yes,
on us.
Yes.
Yes, so Sonny Cumbie, the Louisiana Tech head coach, if you guys remember back 2004 season, went down to Texas Tech, and Texas Tech ran it up on us 70-10 against the Joe Daly-led Nebraska Cornhuskers, where then my good buddy, Mr. Bo Davis, came in and broke some records for himself. I think the worst performance of all time. I believe, I don't know if I made this stat up in my head, but I believe he has the lowest quarterback rating in college football history. And I had to look it up today. He went 1-for-8 for 12 yards, 4 picks, and a fumble. And his QBR was 0.1. And so this is it. This is our time in college. So I knew Bo Davis really well.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's an awesome guy.
Oh, man, dude, fucking really very solid guy. I love Bo. Nothing bad to say about that guy. I believe he still lives here in Nebraska. Married him, a good old Nebraska girl, and stayed around. But, so Sonny Cumbie, the Louisiana Tech head coach, was the quarterback. You know, he threw for 6 touchdowns, 436 yards against us in there. So we've got a little get back payback for Louisiana Tech. And not to mention years ago when Tim Rattay came to town and scorched Nebraska back when Nebraska was actually good. Was it 96 maybe? So there's a little history here with Louisiana Tech. They're a high-powered offense and shit defense, basically. I believe they rank 124th out of 133 teams in rush defense, giving up 204 on the ground. So that kind of plays really into the kind of style of football we want to play. So you know, giving up 204 a game, 124th ranked rush defense. You know, this spells should be another good victory for Nebraska to come out here and, you know, work out the kinks, figure out who your quarterback is, or if you're going to use two quarterbacks, get your running back situation straightened out. And, you know, it's kind of another get right game before you really get into the thick of the Big Ten season. Like I said, the next week, no one expects us to beat Michigan. But after that, every game on the schedule is a 50-50 game. So, you know, and then, you know, what do you say? You win 2 weeks in a row. What do you got yourself? You got yourself a little
winning streak.
You got yourself a win streak. So, Zach, what's your thoughts on the game coming up this weekend against La Tech? Are you going, or what's your plan for the game?
I'm not going to be going. I think our biggest opponent for this game will be Thunder and Lightning, because there is going to be some weather issues here.
I mean the third quarter show?
No.
Thunderstruck.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Did they add a song or something new to the third quarter fucking thing? Was there a new song? There was three songs in it. Was there? Okay.
Yeah, it was a Zach Bryan song. It was Petey Pablo. No, not Petey Pablo.
Raise up?
No, not Petey
Pablo. North Carolina, go on and raise up?
No, not Petey Pablo. It was a real popular song from last year, but then it was Thunderstruck again. But what you missed from this whole Louisiana Tech preview is Dakotas Crawford's on their roster.
Oh, shit. That is where he's at, huh?
He's inactive. He's obviously not playing but their primary receiver name is Smoke Harris.
So Smoke and Dakotas out there.
Smoke Harris is 5'7", 183.
Oh, shit. God damn.
So him and
little guy.
Him and I feel like him and Billy Kemp should just have like a little like mini boxing match before the
game.
Absolutely,
a little midget boxing. Like,
yeah, we'll throw out the coin flip to see who kicks off, and those two little guys can have a boxing match to figure out.
Hey, there's some talk about Billy Kemp getting some carries this weekend. Did you hear any of that? Or
what kind of carries?
Fucking running back carries, like Debo fucking carries. So, I mean, that if he's getting carries, it tells me a lot about the backups.
Yeah, that and you know, he's going to be feeling like Wandale Robinson then.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I think Billy Kemp's smaller than Wandale Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little guy.
That guy is a little small guy.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, but you know,
to answer your question though, I feel fine. I mean, I think we're going to beat the brakes off these guys. Like, they're going to try and throw the ball all around, and you know, we didn't,
right.
Our defense,
they're going to realize that our defense is fucking legit.
Our defense has shown that, like, we're not going to just put up with that. And then we're going to slow them down too, because that's what we want to do. We know that, right. They're like a high power offense. They're going to try and like run a million plays, you know? And so, yeah, I'm not too worried about this one.
Nebraska comes into a 20.5 point favorites. Jesus Christ, 20.5 points. That's a little much.
That's a little steep.
Yeah, that's a little much. It's a little much for my tasting. But you know, so I guess that just, you know, should be a game that Nebraska should easily win. I guess kind of brings me to my next point. We were just talking about kind of how the first 2 weeks, you know, we had a tough schedule where we had to go on the road. You know, Nebraska's opened up the last four seasons on the road against Big Ten opponents. You know, obviously this year at Minnesota, the last year on the road against Northwestern, the year before that at Ohio State, the year before that at Illinois, for their first game of the season. You know, I remember the good old days. We had to, you know, pay some bum a million bucks to come in here and let us punch the lights out for a little bit, get greased up before we get going. Where do you buy into, you know, kind of having that first game of just kind of an easier opponent? Kind of look at what Michigan's doing. Michigan's played three straight bums in a row. And do you think that it affects the outcome of the season? I mean, there's that whole thing about, you know, well, if we would have played Akron fucking that first game, you know, in the Scott Frost era, Scott Frost might still be here. And it's like, okay, let's ease on that. But, you know, also starting your season on the road, first game of the season against a Big Ten opponent is definitely no easy feat. So, I mean, what's your kind of thoughts on how Nebraska's schedule has kind of lined up these last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, like, those types of scheduling things are a privilege of success.
Yeah, Michigan and Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan and Ohio State, the Big Ten and college football wants them to be in a spot where they're in the contention for, like, the end of the year shit. And so,
yeah,
you know, when you got a team like Nebraska that hasn't been to a bowl game since, or had a winning record since 2016, or bowl game, I guess, too. It's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, put them on Thursday night to start it up, because they know they're going to get ratings, right. And they just know that, like, okay, we'll cash in on this, and it's just kind of
they
like
they suck. So let's put them on an odd night where we at least could get some eyeballs on the screen. So
yeah,
I get it. Yeah, what do you think as far as, like, you know, the team wise of kind of, you know, as I always say, you know, seeing that first one going, just, you know, get that first taste of winning, you know, and
kind
of,
I mean,
you'd hope it would snowball. Do you think that plays a factor?
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. Like, if we actually did play Akron, I don't think it would have changed Scott Frost's, like, bad habits. But
was it going to change him out of a frat boy, or
his
drinking habits?
That, but no, I think that, you know, if we get a little more strategic around scheduling and get, like, some, you know, get Wesleyan for week one, I think that would help. But it's like,
have the Pete Wolves come on over.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, not even them, but it's just like, yeah, get a winning, like, habit going, right. In the week two, week one, week three, you know, just get a couple under your belt, and then you don't feel so much pressure when you get to, like, the middle part of the schedule.
Yeah, I felt like the guys were a little, I mean, you know, like I said, I took my daughter to the game Saturday, so we got there early to, you know, kind of see warm-ups, and, you know, there was kind of like a little something over the crowd and the team, just kind of like anxiousness, like, you know, oh shit, okay, we're 0-2, you know, is this going to snowball into 0-6 like it did under Frost? You know, just kind of like, all right, and our quarterback's hurt, what's going to happen? So, you know, like I said, just seeing a win, getting that first taste of victory, and now you're getting a chance to, you know, make it 2 weeks in a row, you know, can lead to a lot of things, especially down this, as I keep preaching, you know, Big Ten West is terrible. So we've got a lot of winnable games coming up here. So
even outside of the Big Three in the East, they're not that good. Like, the Big Ten is not very good this year.
Yeah, no, we're going to, you know, Ohio State hasn't looked great.
We're gonna find out about them this week. Go back and look at Ohio State scores. They've given up like 20 points in three games.
Yeah, but the one they beat Indiana, what, 21-3? It wasn't very impressive. Their quarterback is wearing number 33. Okay, Zach. Yeah, I told you all you need to know.
No, I absolutely hate that. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, like, at one point we all looked at Twitter and Ohio State was down 7-0 to Youngstown State. And it was like 5 minutes into the game. And it's like, okay, well, they handled them and then they beat Western Kentucky like 63-7 last Saturday.
Well, you know, they're after Ryan Day's ass, you know. I mean, well, I love Ryan Day. I don't know if it's because he looks like the guy from, I like him because he looks like the guy from Yellowstone. But I'm a big Ryan Day guy.
It's like, dude, are you?
I know they're like, after him, man.
Are you putting like cheek makeup on your? like, why are your cheeks always so red? Like, it don't matter about the temperature. It's like, okay, I get it. Blackest
beard in the history of beards, man. Like, clearly, you just ferment it every time I see you.
Yeah, you got really black beard and really red cheeks.
Yep. I don't know. So. I don't know. Yeah, they've got a tough test. That should be a good game. We're going to find out who's for real.
That's going to be the best game of the night. Yeah.
And we need Oregon to go ahead and perform the Lord's work and put all this Colorado hype. Dude, they're 21-point favorites, which I think that's a little extreme.
Oregon is?
Yeah.
God, I would love for them to cover.
I worked with a guy, big Oregon fan. I said, I need you guys to do the Lord's work this weekend.
Bo Nix.
He said, we're going to mop the floor with these guys. We'll cover. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. Action-packed weekend of football.
It's the most.
My boys are on
it's
right
the
now.
Most in a while.
Yeah. My 49ers are playing right now against the Giants. So, you know.
I got an beat interesting up on these bet bumps. On your Niners game.
Yeah. I didn't love the 10.5, you know. It scared me off. So, I took the 49ers over 27.5.
No team scores three consecutive times.
Yeah.
You get like plus 175.
Oh, that's a good bet.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else on the game Saturday? Let's go with who's coming out at quarterback situation and score prediction here.
I think as many times as Rule has alluded to, like, Sims not being fully like mobile. I think we go Harburg, and which I tells me that we're probably going to go Harburg against Michigan. So I'm going to take, I haven't looked at it like a spread or anything. I'm going to take Nebraska.
Fuck.
31-10.
Okay. Yep. Sorry. I was watching. I thought Kittle just got hurt.
I'll reset 31-10.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Paying attention to the 49ers game. And as we talk about injuries, fucking Kittle just fell on awkwardly.
Oh, good.
Coming up lipping. Jesus Christ. You know, after my fantasy team took a hit this weekend with Chubb, you know, fucking going down. So, weekend prediction. I think Jeff Sims coming out at quarterback. I think we're going to see Harburg. And there goes your boy Debo skating down the street there. I like Nebraska 31-17 and a pretty pretty dominant game for Nebraska.
You think they're going to score all their points like at the end, like last week?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, 27-28, fucking, you know, 3-10 at halftime, basically. It's not going to be a game. It's going to Nebraska have a comfortable lead all game. So I like Nebraska to go out and get that victory. I think, you know, we break that 30-point mark. And hit our favorite little thing called a win streak. So hopefully the weather holds off. And if it doesn't, you know, it actually plays in our favor even more. It's going to slow their offense down and play into how we want to play. So
that's what pisses me off, too. It's like when I left the game, I was like, all right, Nebraska has held them under 100 yards of total offense. And then
give up the garbage time and yards and point.
And then, like, the second team defense comes in, and it's, like, 150.
Yep.
And double-digit scoring. It's, like,
149. Like, 149 total.
Yeah, and I want to give one shout-out to one of the players. I know there was a slight hate on him, but Alex Bullock, man, that guy has come out and made one or good one or two good plays every game so far this year.
Is that the linebacker Bullock or the wide receiver one?
Wide receiver one, where he caught that bubble screen and just took it up right up the middle.
Yep. And I think I've got nothing but respect for the. I think the brother is better than Heinrich, or you know, fucking linebacker dude. He gets the ball, man, and he's a sure tackler. Those guys have been a godsend here, man, stepping up. So, shout out to them. Shout out to Prep.
Yeah, and as a shout out to a walk on wide receiver, Alex Bullock, I appreciate you way more than I ever did White Lure. So,
yep.
That guy can
lots of hate for that.
Fuck guy. Off.
So, all right. Well, that wraps up. The first win of the season. I mean, like I said, it just felt good after Saturday night, the drive home, and Sunday, you're waking up just. It really just changes the whole morale of at least the Goldenstein household. I'll say that. So, you'd love to see it. So let's go out and get another victory. As always, go Big Red.
Two more things.
Okay.
Stephen A. Smith cannot throw a pitch.
I just saw that.
Oh, God, Stephen A. Smith cannot
throw a pitch. Bro, you are a fucking a college athlete, man. You don't know how to throw a baseball?
And he's like the voice of like sports. Tim Beck is the head coach for Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina, yeah, they're playing right now.
So, I hope that he scores more points because I have the overs in the game. That's all. Go Big Red.
All right, GBR guys. See you next week.
This is the Big Red Revival.